Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, it's a Red Sox Wednesday. You know what happens on a Red Sox Wednesday, TC, don't you?
I do.
Red Sox Wednesday, one, we give away stuff. We give away Red Sox tickets at some point in the program. Two, we talk with the manager of the Red Sox. Maybe that should be one.
I know some guys at Fenway, right. So I might be different, but when I listen, it's not for the free tickets.
It's not?
It's to hear Tito. Well,
but you know,
when
but,
I listen to
different.
Red Sox Wednesday, it's
you're,
for Tito.
So you're part of the media elite.
Right.
So you don't count. You don't count.
The average guy.
If you're the average listener out there, number one is I get some free stuff. Although some people call in and say, oh, they're free tickets, but where are they? None of your damn business. Okay, you want the tickets or not. They're free.
That's the entitled youth of America
right
there.
So you got free tickets on a Red Sox Wednesday. You got the manager of the Red Sox checking in at 12:10. This week at 12:10. Next week, we got something else for you now. Just a little tweak. I'm teasing you. That's what you call a radio tease. Got a little something different next week. Today, 12:10. And three, on a Red Sox Wednesday, you have something called Lunch with Tito. That's when the submissions all come in, and we pick a question, and you get something from Mohegan Sun. I say all that to say this. I'm going to turn you into a Lunch with Tito participant right now. I'm going to allow you.
Wait, where's lunch?
I'm going to allow
Let's
you
get
to
the
be.
Lunch first.
No, it's too early. It's too
or
early.
The carrot
that.
Before the horse.
And tomorrow is Papagino's Thursday, but today, Red Sox.
I'm not here tomorrow.
No, you're not here tomorrow.
That's brutal.
But I'll save you a piece for next week.
But real quickly, on the subject of food, I don't know if you remember Jim Rice calling out for the Beckett
Burger. Of course he got
Six
it.
Of them show up at Nesson yesterday. We fed the entire crew.
Of course.
So thank you to Ken Casey, the Dropkick Murphys, and everybody at McGreevy's.
And we were just used. We were used. You didn't even leave a note. You
Mi
used
casa,
us.
A tu casa. Come on by and have a Beckett Burger at the house.
Oh, yeah, now that they're all gone.
There's a couple laying around,
but,
I think.
But I'm going to turn you into I'm going to turn you into a Lunch with Tito participant. Maybe I'll turn you into Tito himself.
Fine.
You're Tito.
Okay.
What are you thinking in the, I want somebody to get this straight. You're in the 13th inning.
Yeah.
You've got two outs.
Look, here's the chicken scratch. Okay, as it happened. Here's my box score.
It's the 13th inning. You've got two outs. The game is tied at two. You got Saito on the mound. And if he had done his job, you're looking pretty good because he's facing the 9-1-2 hitters.
Right, but he walks the nine hitter.
But he walks the nine guy.
That's where the trouble starts.
That's awful. So now you got two outs,
mm-hmm.
and you're facing Evan Longoria,
mm-hmm.
who has put you in a tough position anyway because he homered earlier off of Daniel Bard.
Well, you know, it is interesting. He homered off Bard, game-tying homer, but he also has four strikeouts on the night. So let's put that on the table as we have this discussion.
We'll put it on the table,
okay,
manager.
He is 1-for-5 with
and
four
I like
strikeouts.
It. You're thinking like a manager already.
1-for-5 with
you're
four strikeouts.
You're already defensive. You're already defensive.
I'm just saying.
You're already
you
defending
You said I'm Terry Francona.
You're already defending yourself.
And I want to point
yourself.
Out that he struck out in the 11th
yet.
Inning.
I haven't attacked you yet. Come on.
But I see it coming.
A preemptive strike
As Tito himself would say, I know what you're saying.
I know what you're
I understand your question.
All right.
That said, I don't pitch to him.
Tito slash
I do
TC.
Not pitch to him.
If I okay, so you're now Tito.
Yeah.
You're walking.
Yep.
Evan Longoria.
I am.
Are you going to pitch to the All-Star Ben Zobrist?
I am not. And I know
so you're going to walk him too.
Obviously, Tito doesn't agree with this at all. But I'm walking the bases loaded and try to get the force play somewhere because there's two outs. I'll take my shot at Joe Dillon.
Because you know you say to yourself, if I can't beat Joe Dillon, all right, it's just not my night.
Now. I will say, if I'm Terry Francona, I'll tell you what he said, and that Saito already had a high pitch count. You're going to add, what, 8 pitches to his pitch count. I think that'll put him at 40. And so you're asking a guy who has command issues, who is known to walk people, to go after Dillon with the bases loaded and two outs in the 13th inning with your 41st, 42nd, 43rd pitch.
That's a fair point, except it's Joe Dillon.
Exactly.
Not Corey Dillon.
Nope.
Not Bob Dillon. Joe Dillon. We got Joe Dillon up here. Oh, now, is this another option? We'll ask Tito this. This is good stuff.
276 hitter, by the way.
This is good baseball stuff, good baseball discussion.
125 with runners in scoring position, Joe Dillon.
Okay. Not worried about him.
Exactly.
If you think Saito has control problems, and I agree, he does.
Oh, by the way, Joe Dillon 5-for-10 against righties.
Okay, and that's fine. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about that.
I'm just telling you.
I still like my chances with Joe Dillon. Who's Joe Dillon?
Right.
Where is he from?
Right.
What's he done? You don't know anything about him until last night. Is he on your fantasy baseball team?
No, not even on your what is it?
What if sports, baby? What if sports?
Not even on what if.
Could you walk him with Saito? Intentionally walk? Could you intentionally walk Longoria? Could you intentionally walk Zobrist and then bring in Clay Buchholz? So you're not crazy about, but Clay Buchholz versus
Joe Dillon.
You don't like that?
I guarantee you in this case, I know what Terry Francona is going to say, and I agree with it in this case. I'm not bringing in a starter who hasn't relieved in a very long time to come into the 13th inning with the bases loaded and the game on the line.
He's going to come.
No safety.
But the game is on the line. If he's in the game anyway, but the game's on the line.
Yeah, but you're talking about like one mistake, a home run will kill you with nobody on. But if you're Clay Buchholz, you can walk a guy if you're starting the 13th inning and get out of it.
You don't want to.
You have no safety net with the bases loaded.
You don't want to bring him in with the bases full.
Don't walk the guy. Throw strikes. But don't let him
hit. Sure. Throw strikes.
But he's not a reliever. You're putting him in a position to fail, I think. I have no problems with that. I don't want Buchholz anywhere near this game with guys on base. If Buchholz is coming in, it's clean, I'm assuming, the 14th inning. If Saito gets you out of that, you're going to bring him in clean to start the 14th.
Okay, your next best thing is, and this is probably why we're sitting here and not managing the Red Sox, because now we're running into some problems here. My scenario is filled with problems. Your scenario, you still have problems because you got the bases loaded and you still have Saito in there. Forget about pitch counts. Okay. I don't want to hear about pitch counts.
Right.
I don't care about pitch counts. Do not care.
They do.
I know they do. I don't.
All right.
You do have a guy with control problems and the bases are loaded, so anything can happen. Wild pitch, game's over.
Right.
How about this? How about you walk Longoria and you pitch to the all-star, Ben Zobrist?
That's interesting. You go to Zobrist, 19 home runs. I mean, why?
And that's your best scenario, pitching to an all-star.
Right.
Avoiding one all-star and going to another one.
Who's got a batting average 25 points higher than Longoria. Home runs about the same. Having a better season than
really,
Evan Longoria.
Really, I'd like to say he's not underrated. He made the all-star team, so somebody's paying attention.
Yeah, his manager was the manager of the all-star team.
But we're thinking about, when you think about the Rays, you might even think about Carlos Pena, who's not having a great season average-wise.
Right.
You think of Evan Longoria. You might even think of Jason Bartlett, but you're not going to think of Ben Zobrist. He's terrific. He really is. Good player. So your options are try to get by Longoria, try to figure this thing out.
To
and
me,
get lucky.
Zobrist is not an option. So you really have two options.
Because
it makes no sense.
So you got to pitch to him.
That's one or the other.
So you got
right?
to pitch to Joe Dillon with the bases
them,
loaded.
Right.
With Saito.
Again, that's what I do.
Or.
But it's not what Terry Francona did. Longoria himself, I was a little surprised to see him even admit he was, quote, a little bit, quote, surprised that they pitched to him. So for a player to even admit that, he's on deck thinking, they're not going to pitch to me, right?
Well,
so we aren't the only ones.
But
somebody who was in there on the field at least had it enter his mind, because sometimes you sit there and go, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe, watching this game at home, maybe I'm so far out that there's an obvious reason why you're pitching to Evan Longoria. But I think it was just a 50-50 call, and I understand.
Let's hope we can get
this guy
out.
I don't agree with.
It's not his night, but it is his night.
Well,
If it wasn't his night, you wouldn't be in extra innings
in
the first place.
You would have won 2-1-9. But he's got 4 strikeouts, and you're worried about Saito with a high pitch count walking in the winning run. That's my guess.
Okay, how about this? I got another option. I'm trying to get around pitching to Evan Longoria, which I don't want to do.
Yeah.
I got it. I figured it out here. Because you set me straight here. You don't want to bring in Clay Buchholz with the bases loaded.
I don't.
I'm not going to do that for you. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to intentionally walk Evan Longoria. Then I'm going to say, Saito, nice job. Give me the ball. And I'm going to bring in Clay Buchholz. The bases are not loaded.
Oh, boy.
And he's going to have to pitch to Zobrist.
So
and
he can
get
walk
him out.
One guy.
But he can walk him.
A little wiggle room.
Get warmed up. Get a little sweat on you. All right. Zobrist, you lost him. So now you've walked the bases loaded. Now you got to buckle down and get out. Who? Who are we getting out
Joe
here?
Joe Dillon.
Who?
Joe Dillon.
Exactly. Joe Dillon. That's not bad, right?
It's not bad, but I guess the first thing I think of there is my concern with Buchholz. He just got lit up in Baltimore, right? You gave him a huge lead. He had a 7-0 lead, and he couldn't go 5 innings to get the win. You got a little fragile psyche going on here, maybe.
Well, that's the pass.
Will losing that game in the 13th inning.
He's a professional.
Yeah, but let's hope. Right. I mean, that's but if you're going back to back, you're going back to back outings of a game you couldn't go five innings with 18 runs of support.
See, look, but
to a 13th inning situation with men on the corners.
I go on with this premise anyway. This is and tell me if you agree with this. Once you get past the, you know, yesterday we had the Tom Karen doctrine.
Was it the Karen doctrine of the steroid era.
The Karen doctrine.
Yes.
Okay. Here's the Holly philosophy.
Here it is.
Extra inning philosophy. Once you're past the 11th inning, you're screwed anyway.
Yeah.
You're screwed. You're dealing with lots of imperfections all
right.
around the field.
Right.
Okay, with your lineup, you have brought in pinch runners, so there's a possibility that you got somebody in the 5-hole that you don't want there. You got somebody in the 4-hole that you don't want there. You've got some things going on. You got a pitcher that you really don't want. You try to avoid this guy, kind of like growing up and you're playing pickup ball. Okay, I want him. I want TC. Okay, I want him. I want him back and forth. And then you got two or three kids standing, and nobody wants him. That's what extra innings is when it comes to pitching.
Right.
You don't want them. You don't want Saito in the game. But you have to. It's an imperfection. So since I'm already dealing with imperfections, all right, I'll walk Longoria. I'll bring in Clay Buchholz. I don't want to do it, but what choice do I have? I don't have a lot of choices. I think this is a better option than going with Saito. If you're concerned about his pitch count, okay, I'm concerned with you. Just for the night, I'm concerned with you. Take him out of there. Bring in somebody who's fresh. Somebody who can give you, if this game goes into the 15th or 16th inning, you don't have to worry about taking him out because he is a starter and he can give you 4 or 5. Right?
Well, that was next. I mean, he was coming in next. You know, I mean, back to square one, if you're asking me what I do, I leave Saito in, I walk both guys and go after Dylan with the bases loaded, with Saito still on the mound. That's what I do.
Yeah, it was.
I'm not the manager. You know, hindsight is 20/20, obviously. You know, he went after Longoria, Saito didn't execute. Let's never overlook the execution. You know, we in New England, more than any other baseball area in America, love to put everything on the strategy and the manager and never lay it down at the feet of the athlete
the
who
player.
Didn't get it
you
done.
You walked the number 9 guy,
right.
You got problems.
Saito didn't execute. He walked the leadoff hitter in the 12th. He walked the leadoff hitter in the 13th. Got out of the 12th, didn't get out of the 13th.
Now, there was some pretty incredible escape jobs
twice,
in this game.
Twice. And bases just, loaded, nobody out.
And I'm not
nobody
talking about Saito.
Out.
How about Ramon Ramirez last night? How did he get out of that situation? I thought the game was over then. I also thought, from the Rays' perspective, I thought they had it won. And then Ramirez, not even in the 8th.
No, but
that's
in
another
the
one. That's another
right? You got the
incredible
bases loaded
escape
after
job.
Home run. You got the bases loaded, nobody out, and Bard is rattled. Okay? Daniel Bard is rattled. He just launched that ball into right field. Thank God it gets wedged
but
underneath.
But he comes back.
Okay.
But he comes back.
So he gets into third. Right. He gets the one out after loading the bases.
Yep.
And then you pull him out, and Del Carmen bails you out of it.
So that was great. We had a bailout from Del Carmen.
Yep.
We had an incredible bailout from Ramon Ramirez.
In the 10th.
Now, interesting here. I've said this before. Dustin Pedroia is a guy that when he's at the plate, I trust him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those guys you trust. He's going to do something right.
And like I hit it to the right side of the infield for the winning run.
I see the bases loaded, and I said, okay, two things you can't do here. You can't strike out, which he rarely does, and you can't ground into a double play.
And Jim Rice is sitting there next to me going, just not a rollover. Just don't roll over on that ball and hit it to the left side of the infield so they can turn a double play. Anything else, we got to run. Fly ball to the outfield, slap hit, ground
anything.
Ball to the right side.
Almost anything.
Just can't roll over on it, and he did. But that's execution.
And once again, as you're using your word, a lack of execution.
Yeah.
So it was a very frustrating game.
But you're
not
as frustrated with Dustin Pedroia because he has executed so often.
Right.
You're a little more frustrated with Takashi Saito.
Yeah, you know, you don't pin the loss. It's tough to pin the loss on anybody. Can you pin it on Dustin Pedroia? I wouldn't pin it on Dustin Pedroia. I think most people today will probably pin it on Tito because, Tito, how do you pitch to Evan Longoria in that situation? That's just my guess. From being here for 4 years and knowing how this thing goes here, this
and
radio
everybody
thing goes.
Here thinks, well, everybody here thinks they're a Red Sox manager, right?
Right. I just made
everyone
you one.
Everyone thinks they can do it, right?
I made
you
one.
Started,
I don't know. I may have
you
fired
started
you.
The show with
I,
your
I may
Terry
have fired
Francona.
You already.
I didn't even get lunch out of it. I'm getting fired now.
Right.
I was started the day with lunch with Francona. Now I'm getting gas.
I'm trying to win championships here. Come on. I'm trying to do
it
something.
It is a results-based business.
Now, this had nothing to do with this is a fascinating thing to watch from last night, too. One, that the relief pitchers did the job. Two, that neither Red Sox hitters nor Rays hitters could do the job when they really needed to. And you felt like, oh, of course. All they need is a little single here, and they're going to get a run. Neither team could do that until the very end, the 13th inning. But the other thing was, and this is something that maybe we'll talk to a pitcher about one day or a catcher. You have to learn to keep your composure and figure out what the guy behind the plate wants from you. Last night, there were a few occasions where the Amica pitch zone, mm-hmm. little shout out there for Nesson, the Amica pitch zone clearly shows there's a strike for everybody.
Yeah.
You saw, I thought Matt Garza, I thought he wanted to kick Jerry Lang's ass. I thought he wanted to fight.
Right.
He wanted to fight. I mean, it's a strike right down the middle, and Lester, he's calling a ball.
Lester seemed more affected by it.
A couple of times.
Halfway to the dugout. Halfway to the dugout, coming back to the mound.
And I saw he went back and he talked to him. Right. Just to maybe he said, you know, hey, I'm not trying to show you up. Right. I'm just trying
to
figure out what the strike zone is. And give both teams credit. They figured it out. This is my analysis of the strike zone last night. If you have a high, if you threw a high strike last night, or a high ball that wasn't a strike, it was going to be called a strike. If you threw a low ball last night that was a strike, it was not going to be called a strike.
That's right.
If you tried to hit the corners and it was a strike, it was not going to be called a strike. So your best option was to throw it high. Just to throw it high.
So you got me thinking now. What we should do with the Amica pitch zone is like halfway through the game, have the game adjusted Amica pitch zone. Like right. Here is what the legal strike zone is.
Here's what it
Jerry
should be.
Lane's strike zone is tonight. And it'd be sort of like a little warped in on the right side, and it would come up a little. Because that's what you would have seen last night. There was nothing low and nothing on the low corners. So it was almost a triangle, right? Your
pretty
high
much.
Strike zone was
high
there,
strike.
And then it came down.
And then after that,
you had to groove it if you wanted the low strike.
Or maybe percentages. High strike, you're going to get that 90% of the time.
Right.
Low strike, maybe 10%. It depends. You get it in the fifth inning, you're not going to get it in the seventh. You might get it in the 10th, you're not going to get it in the 12th.
Right.
Who knew? But I'm going to ask you this, because a Michael Berger called me this morning in a panic. I mean, I had to calm him down. He was on the road. I think he was sweating, not just from the heat. He was just sweating. It was a nervous wreck. And he thinks this could be the start of a very dire road trip for the Red Sox. I mean, this sets the tone for the road
rivalry
trip.
Rivalry week.
Oh, this is awful. Oh, I'm not feeling good about some of these pitching matchups in New York either. Mm-hmm. I'm not feeling good about tonight. Brad Penny, the bullpen is not available. Yeah. And Brad Penny usually gives you 5 2/3. What's going to happen? I don't feel that way. I feel like Tampa needed this game more than the Red Sox. Even though the Red Sox win these two games, I think Tampa is starting to fade a little more. So this was a desperate situation for Tampa, not so much for the Red Sox. How do you feel about it? I mean, do you feel like this sets the tone for this trip going forward? You have an uneasy feeling here?
To an extent, yeah. Yeah, to an extent I do, because I thought last night was a game, you know, Garza has been so good against the Red Sox, and Lester struggled against Tampa Bay prior to last night. Lester comes on the mound and pitches great. Got that strike zone up early, and that's really what hurt them in this game, because he ultimately had to leave after, you know, one batter in the seventh inning. So you had the chance to win. I guess going into it, I didn't feel that way, but as the game was unfolding before our eyes, you almost had a feeling, you know what, they're going to steal a game. And I got the Yankee game over on the other monitor, and they're beating Roy Halladay.
Right.
You know, so it's sort of
and
all
jumped him early
out
too.
Before. Jumped him early, three home runs off Halladay, which is unusual. Couple of runs late, back-to-back homers in the eighth. So they do a hurting on Roy Halladay. Meantime, you're clinging to this paint-drying pace of a game, by the way, even before extra innings, right? We got two runs on the board, and we're pushing 3 hours anyway. So you're in the seventh inning. You got a chance to grab this. You just need another hit or two. Then all of a sudden, you look, and you're winning 2-0, and I didn't realize this at the time. I looked down. They got three hits in the game, the Red Sox, right? Two of them are solo homers. That's why you win another.
Right.
But you really got nothing going
and
on Matt Garza.
And you know what? But you kind of expected that with Garza.
Fair enough. So that's what I'm saying. You are on the verge of stealing a game, right? I mean, this is a game that, you know,
do you call it a stolen game when you got John Lester on the mound? I understand Matt Garza has dominated the Red Sox, but it's Garza versus Lester.
The way the game unfolded in the late innings, yes. Seventh, eighth inning, when they got to the Red Sox bullpen, they got to Bard, and still they were not able to put it away in regulation. I think the Sox, that would have been stealing the game because they had nothing going. They had that one inning where they loaded the bases in the 10th. They had that and two solo homers. That's all the Red Sox had going last night. So in the end, I agree with you. It's a game the Rays needed more than the Red Sox because the Rays do need to sort of make a statement here and pick up some ground. It was an amazing stat we were talking about last night. So since the end of May, since May 29th, mm-hmm. the Tampa Bay Rays are now 37-20. Okay, that's 17 games over .500.
And they've only gained, what, one game?
One game in the standings. Okay? So they're banging it and banging it and banging it and getting nowhere. And you know what? You can't keep playing 20 games over 500 all season
right,
long.
Exactly.
So that dip's coming. Anybody who knows baseball knows you're
at
not going to play at that pace.
At some point, it
so
will
you better
come.
Make up some ground. Bang. They pick up a game on the Sox. Not on the Yankees, but they pick up a game on the Sox. You go to tonight's matchup. Price has been really good at home. I know you said yesterday. You're not afraid of David
Price. Not worried about David
but
Price.
But I'm worried about Brad Penny. I've been worried about Brad Penny for a while. And
where's
here's
that
what I'm worried
I'm not,
about tonight.
I'm not worried about Price, but I am worried about Penny. What is that?
There's
Where's
some kind of
me?
Money. We were trying I don't
yeah,
know,
okay.
Penny wise, pound foolish.
Something yeah,
something
like
that.
Like
that. We've been working on it all night.
Okay.
The price of a penny. There's something there. We can't figure it
something.
Out. Right? There's a little headline. Tonight, when you tune in at 6 o'clock and we have a little graphic with the two matchups, there's going to be something cute on top of that.
And who would have come up with it?
Not
you?
Me, because I'm done. I've tried.
An intern?
Probably.
Go to an intern.
Alexandra.
Intern's
she
always
was working
good
on it all night. Anyway, you got Brad Penny, and you. I'm going to go back to something you said yesterday, Michael. You said, is there going to be a series in the playoffs, in this case, in the regular season, where the running game is going to hurt the Sox? Tonight could be the night. Brad Penny, 18 stolen bases against the Michigan.
I thought it was last
more
night.
More than anybody on the team.
How about when Carl Crawford gets on last night, I'm going to steal second.
That's right.
I'm going to steal third.
I'm just going
to
keep going.
Hello, how you doing?
Ninth Man. Inning. Bartlett gets on. Boom, steals second. You're like, all right, that's going to be the one that hurts. But tonight, Penny has done very little to keep guys on base.
Who catches Penny tonight?
I would think Martinez. Right? I would think Martinez.
Yeah, I mean, this
you got a lefty on the mound?
Yeah.
You got a lefty on the mound?
And think about this. Last
Maybe
night,
not.
John Lester has a pretty good move.
Yeah.
And this and it still didn't make a difference.
You can't do anything.
Now, the first throw, I'm talking about the first stolen base that Carl Crawford had, pretty good throw. The
yeah.
second.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
just not but not good enough.
Right.
And then he's got so much He's got so much
he's
confidence.
He's walking to third.
Oh, I'm going to third.
Against a lefty, he's walking to third.
Yeah, I'm on. This is my field.
Yeah, just get it over with.
And you're the Red
it.
Sox, and I always steal bases against right. you. Do something about it. And they can't.
So I'm worried tonight about Penny because he's, you know, obviously he's been very troublesome as far as deep into games. What's it got? It's the 21 starts now without going seven innings, the longest in all of Major League Baseball. My guess is, and we'll have Terry on, there's going to be a roster move today because I think you're going to need to add a reliever.
Oh, yeah, you need another
pitcher.
You don't have – who are you going to go to in the bullpen?
Right.
So, and I think that was part of the reason last night that you go one inning with Jonathan Papelbon. I mean, how can you go extended innings with Papelbon last night, and then he's not available tonight.
That's right.
And then, you know, then that gets into the New York series, so
yeah.
you don't want to mess with that.
Okajima didn't go an inning. Barr didn't go an inning. You've got guys who can jump back in tonight, but that's based on a seven-inning start.
Exactly.
You haven't had one from Penny yet.
You're absolutely right, and you might be rehired as manager of the Red Sox. I fired you, and I rehired you.
I'm going to call Ken Mocha for a bench coaching job.
Or, no.
I'll keep Prince Fielder out of that Dodger clubhouse.
No, are you going to – well, maybe you'd be a great balance to Ken Mocha. I don't think he's giving a lot of motivational speeches. That's just
I would be the fiery bench coach.
That's what I'm just
– He'd be the level-headed manager.
I'm guessing.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!